Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Father, Lord, do this work in us. Have mercy on this heart. Have mercy on this soul's presence. Save us, O Lord. You are the life. There is no life anywhere. You are the life. Help us to recognize that. Help us to accept that. Help us to be committed to that. Help us behold your glory. Help us to thirst. To hunger and thirst for that righteousness that is of you alone in the name of Jesus. I commit this hour to your care. I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit that like the pen of the ready writer will inscribe indelible words in the hearts of your people and write the eternal covenant upon their hearts. That Lord of heaven, that we will be changed from glory to glory even as we behold you today in the name of Jesus. Help me, O God. Help your people, God. Help us behold your glory. Because we are prayed with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, church. This morning, I woke up to have this impression on my heart that I need to talk about this. I'd wanted to leave it, and God used Pastor Bello to remind me that I don't finish what I started when I started speaking about the second coming of Christ. Now, there are many issues that go into the second coming of Christ. And there is one major, one very, very critical part of it. It's called the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And I've noticed over time that in the body of Christ, mostly in the Americas, in the civilized Western world, and particularly in many Pentecostal churches, we don't talk about these issues anymore. Because it's not very palatable. Some have argued that you cannot use this to get people born again. They may be right. But I don't know why God had to put so much information about this in his Bible if it's not important. So I want us to look at this matter. And God's going to help us in Jesus' name. Make a few things clear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was writing to the church, and it's important that we also pay attention to this, about Jesus' second coming. Are you there? For you yourselves, brethren, know. Are you there? I said 2 Thessalonians, not 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by what? By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Pay attention that they are the same. The coming of Jesus and our gathering together unto him. Some have thought that there are two different occasions, but from this you can see that they are the same. He's coming and we're going to be gathered together unto him. Amen. So, he was writing about that event. And verse 2 now went on to say, that you be not so shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, during the time of Paul, they kept saying Jesus was at hand. Of course, that was one of the things that motivated them to do the things they did. Praise God. But as time went on, more clarity began to emerge about Jesus' coming. And so Paul needed to explain and encourage and clarify this particular major cosmic earth-shattering event. Praise God. So I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want to be shaken in mind, whether by a spirit. Of course, people could give prophecies and tell that by this time tomorrow, next week, Jesus is coming back. And people will be agitated. It was happening in the days of Paul. Neither by word, neither by letter. Our Old Testament is called the Day of the Lord. And Israel looked forward to the Day of the Lord. And the prophet said, is the Day of the Lord something to look forward to? Said, no. You don't say, let the day come. If you know what that day entails, you will not look forward to it. Praise God. Verse 3 now went on to say this. He now said, let no man for this reason deceive you by any means. Don't let them use any mythology to deceive you. Praise God. Because remember I said when I was teaching, in Matthew chapter 24, the first thing Jesus warned us about says, let no man do what? Deceive you. So the operation of Lucifer in these last days, apart from all the things, whatever it is that he's doing, has only one objective. And that is to do what? To deceive people. We are fighting, basically, the spirit of deception. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The spirit of deception will tell you it does not matter. Oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, you don't need that. Oh, you don't need that. Oh, do you not know? No, I was in UK and I was talking to my friends. We slept together. And one of my friends, said, oh, do you know that this couple, because they got engaged while we were in service, I think when we were in service is correct. Praise God. They now married and they were in UK. So we went to visit them and we were just talking. And I said, I observed something in this UK that men don't fear God here. That if the churches don't understand that judgment is coming. I know I was shocked the way they reacted. They said, no. Roshayi, because I'm still Brother Shayi, amen. I said, amen. Look, you can take your title to call pastor. I won't fight you. But I can't give you bro. You take bro from me, there's nothing that I have left. Praise God. Do you understand that? Say, no. We don't preach that. Yeah, we only preach the love of God. I say, Who says God is God so loved the world? He's the same one that has warned us about his wrath. Praise God. Say, for that day shall not come. Which day? The coming of the Lord and our being gathered together unto him. That day will not come. Praise God. Except what? There must come first and foremost before that day a falling away from the faith. People will fall away. People will walk away. People will turn their backs to the Lord that saved them. And they will damn the consequences. It's beginning to happen. But it has not happened on a large scale. We are just seeing the beginning of those things happening. So much so that even the Pope and some Pentecostal people are already saying it that it doesn't matter anymore. Praise God. I understand the Catholic Church is they're revising the Bible. They want to rewrite the Bible now. That they will put gay and some other things inside it to become acceptable. I was watching a video. I went to somebody who was celebrating their birthday today, and I went to her page and I saw the rantings of EP. I don't know how many of you have seen the rantings of EP. It was lamenting there that the LGBT group has infiltrated Marvel, DC, all those comics, and Superman is not going to become a gay. Meanwhile, all the films I'm seeing on Netflix, there's solid occultic operation. What is called Kung Fu? Have you seen a Kung Fu man a drop of water, just 2 drops of water, the guy will march on that drop of water and jump. Are you with me? But now, not only that, they are now flying. I said, this is witchcraft. They jump, they fly in the night. And they do not fly openly now. Praise God. In our days, witches don't fly in the day. They fly at night. And you don't see them. And you see occultic symbols all over. Have you watched Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange is pure occult. If you watch enough of Doctor Strange, you walk in the occultic. Praise God. There must be a falling away first. That is a sign. Because if you look at everything about God, God relates. See, when God is relating with people, he relates with people based on the level of your knowledge of him. Of Moses, he said, I spoke to him plainly, face to face. I didn't hide anything. But for the rest of you, I will hide it. I will speak to you in riddles. I'll speak to you in dark sayings. I'll speak to you in signs. Praise God. Am I making sense? When they asked Jesus, who is it to betray you? He said, this is the sign. He gave them a sign. He said, he who dips his hand inside the bowl. I think they were taking bread and tea. I think so. You know, when you want to take bread, you put it inside tea. They told me it's a Bushman way of eating bread. Until I got abroad, I saw the Oyibo too is doing it. As the Oyibo is doing it, then don't worry because then praise God. I'm okay with that. And let me tell you, there's no way to eat bread like than that. Just put bread right here and chop it. Then it gives your soul pleasure. I get tired of eating bread. Bredo, are you there? When you have to, you eat the bread and you take tea. Once I eat 2 slices, I have no interest anymore. I just lose interest. But I can finish a whole loaf just dipping it inside. Oh, you understand? You are feeling me. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. He said that will come first of all a falling away and the man of sin. There is a man. That's the second sign. That man must come. That man of sin must be revealed. He's called the son of perdition. They have to reveal him. And of that, know him. When you see the abomination spoken about by Daniel, stand in the holy place. That is him. He will come into that place and proclaim himself God. Glory be to God. Then that is a sign of him. I've read few books, I've read few materials. Prophets have prophesied. They've told us that the Antichrist is already born. He's operating here, he's operating there. I just came to a conclusion, this is not true. Because Jesus didn't say, you will know him. You can't even know him. You don't even know him. I don't even know if he knows himself. Amen. But he has to know himself. But Jesus Christ knew himself. Are you with me? But the only way I can know who that person is that he must come into the temple. And stand in the holy place. Because that, now you must understand the dimensions or the arrangement of the temple of God. Do you know that the purpose of God is to bring us into the most holy place? That is the program of God. We were born, in fact, we were not in the outer court. We were not in any court. We were Gentiles having no hope. They are bringing us in and to enter into the most holy place and there stay and see God face to face. That is why Paul was being persecuted. Because the Jews were saying, are you mad? Even we, only the high priest could enter once a year. They are now saying, even Gentiles will enter. Go the daft way. Do you follow me? So you now understand that this is what God has been trying to do and is still going to do. Praise God. But Satan is saying, before you guys get there, I will enter there and there I will proclaim myself as God. That is it. And just like when that pronouncement goes out, say whoever is in Judea, flee. Say there will come a distress that has never seen from the earth, the day the earth was born. When people are talking about war crimes. That war crime will be like, what is the word there? Child's play. The people that went through the wars will say, that one was the main distress. I don't know how it's going to be. But the Bible calls it, or the theologians call it, the great tribulation. Am I communicating? Amen.
And that tribulation is going to be precipitated by this man of perdition. Am I communicating? Now understand this. The tribulation is not the wrath of God. No, 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 no. It is not the wrath of God. Praise God. Let's look at this scripture. Amen. I want us to see this scripture. Revelation. I think it's Revelation. Where is it now? Please just give me a few minutes. That's why I'm going to take your time. Revelation 12:12. Yes, Revelation 12:12. Mommy, can I borrow your handkerchief? Did you come too? Glory to God. Are you there? Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. He now said, woe to the inhabitants of where? The earth. And of the what? Of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but what? A short time. I often tell people, and I'm going to say here today, the Antichrist, that man of sin, is the last card Satan can play. He's not the worst. He can't be worse than his father himself. Am I communicating? This is the, how many of you play what? Card games? The way you do it like that, you just say, last card. Hallelujah. That is Satan's last card. He cannot be worse than the father himself. The father has been persecuting the church since the church was born. And he has not killed the church. What makes you think, therefore, that this one will now kill the church? Because the person who holds the church is immortal. He's unkillable. Praise God. They can not only kill the flesh, but they can kill the soul. And so just got to be fearful of him, who not only can kill the body and the soul, he has the power to come carry all of them and throw them in hellfire. So that is the man you should fear. Praise God. Am I communicating? The American church has made us to fear and to dread the manifestation of the son of perdition. You have no need to fear him. You have no what? No need to fear him. He's not our problem. Praise God. Even if he comes with all the distresses he can think about, it makes no difference to what God is going to do. Glory be to God. So the Bible told us, yes, he is coming down, he has great wrath. But his wrath pales into insignificance to what God is about to unleash. Now let's go to some scriptures. Deuteronomy 30, let me just back up to Deuteronomy 30 to show you a principle of God. Deuteronomy 30, verses 16 to 19. You now see why I need some, I'm going to do a lot of scriptures here. And so that, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither so thou goest to possess it. 17. But if thy heart, did you see the caveat there? But if thy heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Please, you now know why Jeremiah was crying. Those of you have read the book of Jeremiah and you are still reading it, this is the reason for Jeremiah's concern. Amen. Elijah came up and pronounced judgment upon Israel. Are you with me, church? This is the reason for God's judgment. But if the heart turn, I was there, verse 18 now said, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely do what? Perish. And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou goest over to Jordan to go to possess it. Verse 19. It says, why? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Blessing, thank you. Blessing and what? Cursing. Therefore, what should you do? Choose life. And do what? And live. that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. From time immemorial, God has always given man two choices. Not many. Just two choices. The choices are life or death. There is no observational position in the way God deals with people. No. You are either here or you are there. Do you follow me? Choose life and live. But if you want to choose death, it's okay with him. Praise God. It doesn't matter. In fact, are you aware that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Is that not Bible? Are you also aware that God is also a rewarder of them that don't seek him? You don't know that one. The second is also, the converse is also true. Amen. He's a rewarder of every man. Every man that ever came to the earth, God will reward them. Praise God. So it's either you reward him for life or he rewards him with death. He's always going to reward. It's just his nature. Just like we say, God cannot lie. God cannot go without rewarding. Amen. The question therefore, what reward will you get? What will you at the end be your reward? Praise God. Look at Exodus 32, verse 10 to 12. We now began to see God's dealings. Now, see, I need to lay this foundation to show you a consistent pattern with God. It's consistent in the way he relates with men. This idea that God is love and because he's a God of love, we are okay. We are not okay. Amen. Mm-mm. If you don't respond to his love, there is something you will respond to. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath, this was God talking to Moses, that my wrath may wash us against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. Verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax us against thy people? Which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Then the next verse 12 says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Verse 13. Remember Abraham, and he began to speak, and he began to speak. And at the time he said, and when the matter became very, very dear, he said, okay, if that be the case, remove my name from the book of life. And God said, you have gone too far. But the important thing is this. Pay attention to this. What stops God from destroying his people is an intercessor. A man that will stand in the gap. A man that will plead their case. Praise God. A man that will shield them from that wrath. A man that God will see instead of them. Am I making sense? That is why you need to understand. Now, there is a scripture I want you to see. So the thing can be consistent. 10:6. Leviticus 10:6. Give me Leviticus 10:6. Because you need to understand the reason for the priesthood. God did not just raise the priest because he wanted to be a God that everybody must come and serve. No, that was the reason why the priesthood was set in place. Amen. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, lest you what? You die. And let wrath come upon all the people. Because the reason why he set those guys in place was that they were a shield between God and the people. Now if God kills and destroys the priesthood, who is going to save them from God? Amen. We're going to stand in the gap and say, Lord, have mercy. I was talking to one of my sons yesterday. I said, the reason, so what do you see? What they call intercession is different from supplication. Amen. But you can supplicate whatever, but this is the issue. I've become first friend to the governor. Amen. It's a apostolical situation. And who knows, I may become first prophet to the governor, the next governor. Hallelujah. Everybody in town knows that. And I can guarantee that once they name me the first friend of the governor, this church is going to fill up. Automatically is an anointing. Amen. But you know why that anointing will come? It's because people will now want to gain access to the governor through me. Now, not everybody will be able to gain access to me. They will now start looking for people close to me. Are you with me? They will sit there in church and be observing how I relate with all the pastors. Because the pastor is close to Pastor Bilu, he's close to Pastor, my wife, he's close to our people. So they will now approach you. The peace will have this problem. Help me talk to pastor, help me talk to governor. Amen. Now, on their own standing, I can't talk to them. I can't help them because I don't know them. I don't share you now. So, let us assume. Pastor Deli will not help. We want to go to the governor. And I said, what is it? He said, this, my friend, you get the idea, is in need. Now, I will not help his friend because he is a friend. I will help the friend because of Pastor Deli. What is Pastor Deli doing? He's interceding. So to save Israel, they need somebody that has power with God. And said, God, because of me, I direct you. Praise God. So he said, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Hallelujah. Now, he now said this in Numbers. Numbers 153. He gave this instruction. To buttress what I'm trying to say. Numbers 153. He says, but the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony. Amen. If you go to that Old Testament, you will see the way God arranged Israel to camp. They were to camp round the ark. Four divisions on the left, four divisions on the right, four divisions in the north, four divisions in the south. Are you with me? And the tabernacle in the center of the camp. But God now said, let the Levites do what? Camp round about the concentric circle, round about the tabernacle, the tabernacle of witness, of testimony. Why? That there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. Why? Because the Levites were going to have like a shield for the children of Israel. Amen. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. Amen. You now see why Jesus has to go to heaven to act as our high priest. Because there are many things we do that has kindled his wrath, that he would have broken out and destroyed many people in the church. But it appears as if God is asleep. No wonder people say with the power as of old. If the power as of old comes here, then people will die. The reason why power as of old has not broken out is because there is an advocate that is standing between God and man. But there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is our eternal advocate. But one man said he had a vision of the judgment. He said he kept seeing Jesus pleading with the Father, pleading with the Father. Every time God wants to move into judgment phase, he kept pleading with the Father. Said, but one day, Jesus stood up, turned his back to the throne, walked out, and changed his garment. He removed the garment of a high priest and put the garment of a warrior. The judgment broke out from the temple, from heaven. The day he steps out of that temple and stopped being his high priest, I'm saving men, I'm pleading with men, the wrath of God will be unleashed. Because nothing will be stopping the wrath of God from coming down. Praise God. Now, I want us to look at what does all this thing entail? Praise God. Proverbs 16 verse 14. It says, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death. The wrath of a king is as what? It's a messenger of death. Once a king is angry, the anger goes as a messenger. It's not to save anyone. Amen. Now, look at this. Romans 1:18. I want us to now begin to look at the things that will trigger God's wrath. Now, listen to me. John wrote an epistle to us. 1 John chapter 1. Is it from verse 9? Please, can you just run there? I'll come back here. Because I need to establish that so that we don't say, there's no hope for me. 1 John. 1 John 1 verse 9. I think so. Back up to it. Now, it says this. If we say, what are we saying? That we have no sin. There are people who have come to a place that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I cannot sin. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And therefore, I am holy. The Bible says, what have you done? Say, you have done what? You have deceived yourself. You don't understand how bad your case is. And the Bible says, the truth is not in us. Because you are claiming you have no sin. Amen. Oh, they will ask, are you a sinner? Amen. You say, I'm not a sinner, so you... Praise God. For me, there are two different things. That you do not practice sin habitually. That's why you are not a sinner. And because you have come under the blood of the Lamb. Is that okay? But that you don't sin. We sin. We sin in words. We sin in actions. We sin against each other. Sometimes we don't even realize we have sinned. So we do it deliberately. To us. Man of God. This is your haircut. You know what I've just done? I've ridiculed him. You may all laugh, but I have actually done what? Ridiculed him. I said, I'm just playing with you now. God doesn't see things like that. Too. He doesn't play. I think it's only Jesus make for Peter, he's not a jester. He doesn't jest. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Hey, he doesn't jest. So we sin regularly. It's not as if it's our second. It's part of the fact that we are born again. We still do these things wrong. We still do wrong things. Praise God. So we cannot say we have no sin. Father, I just thank you. Did you hear my tongue? I don't speak tongues of men. I speak that of angels. Hallelujah. I'm not like this. I fast 2 times a day. Amen. I'm not a sinner like them. I don't sin like them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm always in the Spirit. 35-7 a day. Thank you very much. Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. When you say Spirit, it's not anointed. I'm in the Spirit. Spirit. You have deceived yourself. Satan has neutralized you. Verse 9. You know why not say this in verse 9? If, what am I supposed to do? If we confess our sins, it's not writing to unbelievers. Do you understand? Look, when we talk to an unbeliever to give his life to Jesus, it is not expected of an unbeliever to confess his sins. No. Go and read the scriptures well. He said, if you will believe and accept Jesus, then you shall be saved. There's no sin for him to commit because his stand is a sinner. He's not a sinner, he's a sin. There's nothing to confess. Everything is sin. The only way to save is I believe Jesus come into my life. That is all he's supposed to do. Amen. He has come. He's a murderer, he's a fornicator, everything is sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Say you are saved. But for the believer, it is the believer that confesses. And don't tell me you don't know what you did wrong. Because the Spirit of the Lord will convict you. Even when you did it. Except you are reprobate. You are on your path to getting lost. When he stopped talking to you and started that this thing you are doing is wrong. And he will now send brethren to you say, Pastor, what you said to Pastor PJ is no good. Something is wrong with my conscience. It's dying. Because I'm no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's one of the work of the high priest. And just to do what? To forgive our sins. And to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. That is the work of the high priest. That is what Israel used to go to do when they go to the temple and offer the sacrifices for the remission of their sins. Amen. And until blood is shed, there is no remission of sin. Praise God. That is the purpose of Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus is not to anoint your car. Anoint this car. You don't anoint the car with blood. That is abuse of blood. They didn't design the blood for anointing your house. To anoint my leg. That is not the purpose of the blood. Try that in the Old Testament and see whether the God will kill you. By thank God for Jesus that doesn't kill us. He knows that we are ignorant. So he forgives us our trespasses. Amen. No, that's not the purpose of the blood. Can we call it? So it will cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. How does it do the cleansing? Let's go to verse 10. He says, we have not sinned, we have made him a liar. And his word is not in us. 11. Is that 11? No, there's no 11. Amen. Now, we have to go back to Hebrews, because I haven't talked about sin and all that. But the blood is about cleansing us. In Hebrews chapter 9, he spoke about, said there is the blood of Jesus purges our conscience from dead works. Praise God. That's what the blood does. It purges us. The second thing the blood does is that it speaks on our behalf in heaven. Every time there is an activation of wrath. How does God's wrath get activated? That's why they call him the accuser of the brethren. He goes before the throne and instigates God that this boy, this is the judgment of a sinner. The soul that sinneth shall die. He activates the work of the high priest. And the work of the high priest presents the blood that was shed on his behalf. Am I communicating? And it's cleansed. And so when you've committed that sin. You've recognized you committed the sin. And you have asked Jesus, I am sorry. Because you have to be specific. Don't say, look, all the sin I have committed today, forgive me. It doesn't work like that. What did you do that day that was sin? Tell the high priest, Lord, I told lie. I exaggerated the story. Forgive me. Am I communicating? No, there's that prayer we used to pray. All of us who have sinned today, Lord, forgive us. It doesn't work like that. Everybody must go and tell God what he or she did that day that was wrong. And it's better you don't wait for the day. So you now accumulate all the summary. Praise God. Do you understand me? As you are doing it, repent. He said, but, and I did this thing just 3 hours ago. And I'm doing it again. Ha! Will Jesus forgive me? The same Jesus that said that if a man commits sin and trespass against you, and he comes back, that is something you must never get to do. Never be afraid to go back. What killed Judas? Judas was too proud to go back. That Emi, the son of man, go back and beg Jesus and have betrayed him. Rather than I will eat poison. Karapashantayabaraba. A man dies only once. Amen. The 7 Iroko man. Isn't that the Iroko? Timba and Kaliba. The 7 man. Okurimeje. You are a fool. You don't do that with God. You have seen, go back. You have committed again. And I did it again. And I told God I won't lie again. He said 70 times a day. Until you do that, God has no right to say I'm not forgiving you. Hello? He was the one that now said, if they now bid you go 1 mile, be ready to go 2 miles. If God puts that as a requirement for men, what is his own requirement? If God says you should go 2 miles, I can promise God is prepared to go with you 100 miles. Before he gives up on you. But don't be afraid. Don't be foolish not to go back. Don't be proud and say, I cannot confess. I cannot confess. Hey, you're an idiot. Just kill yourself. Praise God. Am I communicating, church? Don't say you have no sin. Say, be confessed. And that was the problem with Israel. They refused to repent. They refused to acknowledge they were wrong. Please. Correction is grievous for a fool. That's Proverbs. is grievous. When is he a fool or a scorner or something? It's grievous. Ah, bro, you should not have done this. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. In my father's house, that's how we do it. He's a fool. He has no where he's going in life. He may carry oil. In fact, his own oil can be NMPC oil. He will die a fool because he hates correction. Are you with me? What did the Bible call iron sharpness and a man the countenance of his friend? God will help us in Jesus' name. So how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. That is what the blood does. Hebrews chapter 12 says, now you have come to Mount Zion. And it spoke about the blood of the sprinkling. Hallelujah. Can you get me there? Can you go to chapter 12? The blood of the sprinkling. Amen. I just pray I'm going to finish within this place. So, and for this cause, Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Praise God. The blood of the sprinkling, not the blood of the covenant. Glory to God. Don't ever, ever think that that blood is not sufficient for your salvation. Don't ever get to that place in life. Don't ever cast away. And so Paul warned us that those who turn their backs to Jesus, haven't received the knowledge of the truth, handle the powers of the ages to come, turn around and say, no, there's not. They have nothing to do with Jesus. Say they are stepping and disregarding this blood. And once that blood is disregarded, there is no shield. Nothing is going to shield you between God and yourself. The wrath will come unhindered on you. Is that okay? Praise God. Now Romans, go back to Romans 1:18. Paul began to warn us. Said this is why this wrath is coming. Said this wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. Against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who hold the truth in what? In unrighteousness. What is Paul saying? It's like there's a lot of play of words. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or manifest to them. Praise God. Have you seen people tell you that something happened to them and they attributed it to luck? They said it was luck. They knew it was not natural. They knew it was something beyond. Other people talk about accident situations and they said they cried upon the name of Jesus and they were saved. They were not born again. But instead of them attributing to Jesus, they will say, Ori Babami. I don't know. Oh, my mother that was dead, it was one that came to save me. And all those small stupidity are recorded in heaven against you. Because when you recognize it was God, you did not give him glory. Praise God. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without word excuse. There's no one that has an excuse. You can't stand before God on judgment and say, I did not know you, Jesus. They will ask you, all these things are all preached. All these things that you see around in creation, they are all messengers of God. He put them there that you may know that God created it. Praise God. How many of you have heard about the Big Bang Theory? Some foolish people came together and did a meeting. And said creation started with just a Big Bang. Bang! And everything came into existence. Then the question I asked, Who created the team before it burnt? Where did it come from? Amen. Am I making sense? They said, no, you came from monkeys. It's called the theory of evolution. Then the question is, that why have monkeys stopped coming out of the jungle? Am I communicating? Professing to be wise, versus Paul said they became fools. Be careful where you go to. But you can't go to any Western, right now, any Western university for higher, without them filling your head with such philosophies. My uncle was supposed to have been a priest when he was going to, wanted to be a priest before he left Nigeria to study. Professor Oluwole, one of the foremost physicists in Nigeria, the professor of nuclear physics. He came back to Nigeria and became an atheist. Said there is no God. Sad. Because they filled his head with all kinds of stupidity. He's supposed to be closer to death now. I think I need to get back to him. I said, how far, sir? I used to think there is no God. It will be stupid if you cross it to eternity and find out there is God, though. But I'm get insurance. If you get there and find that there is no God, you have not lost. Because there is no promise that if you cross over to eternity as a believer, that God exists, and the fact there is a life where God does not exist, they will punish you. There is no such something. But if you cross over there and find that there is God, there will be a problem. Nobody can help you. I think I'll read that message. I'll call you. Thank you very much. Praise God. Romans 2, verses 5 to 8. Here Paul go further about this wrath. Because it's a warning to us. He said, after the hardness and impertinent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing. Now, this is another set of people. There are two sects. There are certain people that wrath is their portion. But there is another set who, because of what? Think something they are seeking for. Praise God. Have separated themselves from the other class of people. Amen. Listen to me. We are only going to have two reward systems. Or what? Or wrath. Those are two reward systems. Verse 8. But unto them that are what? Contentious. And do not obey the truth. Can you see obedience is important here? You can be in church. You are a tongue speaker. But you are very, very disobedient. You are very contentious. You are a troublemaker. You go around making trouble in every church. And you boast about it. That church, I went and I scattered the church. Amen. It's your pride to scatter the church. It's your pride to ridicule the pastor. It's your pride to make sure that everybody is... Can this person say it? You hit it against this person say it? You are living a life of disobedience. You do not obey the truth. But what are you obeying? Unrighteousness. He said there will be indignation and what? Wrath. Praise God. Now let me go. Can we go now? Amen. Ephesians 2, verses 3. Among whom also, we all had our what? Conversation. The word conversation is our lifestyle. We all lived. That's the way we all live. There are people, that's why the Bible says you are called out. He called out people. Amen. We are called out generation. You were called out of a people that were going to be destroyed. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, when you see an unbeliever, a person who has to see Jesus, God sees him as a child of wrath. In other words, in life is wrath. That's what he's going to inherit. But God, who is rich in love, mercy, for his great love where he had loved us, verse 5, what did the Bible say he did for us? Hurry up, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has equipped us together with Christ, and by his grace you are saved. Praise God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. What did Jesus do for us? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait, and that's what I said about the past few weeks, that look, you cannot be passive in your faith. You were not saved to be whiling your time away in church. Am I communicating? No, there must be an active engagement. There must be a reason that underlies your actions. There must be a philosophy that is driving your life. You just cannot be passive and leave everything. Well, like I come to church, I listen to pastor, I pray. No, there must be an active engagement. There must be an expectation. There must be a desire. There must be something that is driving you. Why are you coming to church? Why are you seeking Jesus? Am I communicating? Why? Why? Oh, there were people that kept seeking Jesus. Remember that time? And they said, Master, we have been looking for you. Where have you been? He said, you do not seek me for anything. It was because of your bread yesterday. They didn't deny it. I had your bread. People are coming to God for bread. And when Jesus Christ died and rose, did you see the bread eaters? They have nowhere to be found. You can't come to God. You can't deceive God. You must actively engage God. Why are you coming? Why are you doing the things? If tomorrow I abuse you and slap you, will you walk out of the church? Or will you say, because of my love for my Father, I will stay? Am I communicating? What is your motive? Somebody said, I can't stay in PGT because their music is not touche. Did you come to church for music? Supposing I disband choir and said there's no music, will you still come? Praise God. I don't know if I'm making sense to you. What is your motivation for coming? Why are you doing what you are doing? Somebody got angry with me and said, all the time I've been in this church, Pastor, you have not given microphones to even you, Andrew. Are you coming to church because you want to handle microphone? Praise God. I may not give you microphone. That does not stop the grace of God upon your life. Pastor, this man, what's his name? Adi Farasi. Paul. When he was in the U.S., I attended T.D. Jakes' church. T.D. Jakes does not know him for me then. He was an usher. That was what he spent all his time. When he was in the U.S., that was what he was doing all throughout his whole life. He came to Nigeria and he blew. Praise God. Just blow. And you see, he talk like T.D. Jakes. I see the asthma. Praise God. But that's how you can do it, his son. The day he brought T.D. Jakes to Nigeria, the PSN people panicked. He now rubbed insult upon injury. Said I spent something million naira to bring. That's how he became one of the greats, the champions of David. Amen. They were serious. He hired the national stadium. We put money together to hire stadium. Me and Nikon hire stadium. Brought T.G. Jakes. Glory to God. All the big boys in PFN rearranged the setting. Okay, this boy is now an elder. Glory to God. Am I communicating, church? But it goes beyond all that. What and why? T.G. Jakes didn't recognize him, but he knew what it was worth. I may never give you a microphone. I may not even call you to come. I even come and say, God bless all of you. But that does not mean can you not leave here and go and blow. Because it's God who called you. I was not the one who called you. He will exalt you, he will lift you up in the name of Jesus. But there must be a reason why you are coming. You must redefine all those nonsense. That's why you see people, you only see them once in a week. Why is it the once in a week thing? The pastor, why did you know? The pastor, you know, my back is spinning me. You see, pastor, that Sunday, I cooked beans. I had to wait. By the time the beans finished, service was over. Glory be to God on earth. We are not serious. We are talking about life and death, and we are playing games. It's okay. It's okay. Praise God. God will have mercy. Which we've been there. So don't feel bad. Don't go and commit suicide after today's service. Just repent and change. That's all. Are you with me? Look, I've abandoned fellowship because of Nigerian match. I ran away. I didn't watch Nigerian wants to play. And then fellowship. And we go and watch that match. Unfortunately, we lost. We lost by 3 goals. And I believe it was because of me that we lost that match. So from that day, I told God, I will not miss match again when there's a clash. And I will not miss fellowship again. But shortly after the match was to play, the same day we were doing something. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I go? I said, but I've told God. God, I commit the match to us. As if by watching it will make any difference. Praise God. It took time before God delivered me from that. He had to win me out of it. Amen. He was going to win you. All he needs is just your desire to be delivered. And he will initiate deliverance program for you. Praise God. But stop lying to yourself that you are okay. You are not okay. The choices you are making are not right. Repent. Praise God. Now, let me run to the book of Revelation. I hope I can run through this in 30 minutes. Because the book of Revelation is a very, very, very strange book. Now, I want to avoid trying to explain all those characters you see in the Bible. In the book of Revelation. I want to say this, that the book of Revelation was written to three classes of people. One, it was written about the church. Two, was a part of it addressed the life and the destiny of the Jewish nation. And the third one has to do with the Gentile nations. Are you with me? The Gentile nations, and is coded as Mystery Babylon. There's a spirit running in the earth that the Bible calls Mystery Babylon. Is it Mystery? No, I think it's Mystery, Babylon. But we call it Mystery Babylon. His name is Mystery. Then there's another one called Babylon. It has the characteristics of all those names, which I'm not going into right now. Praise God. But I know you would have loved me to start breaking them down because it's very, very sweet. Amen. But I don't want to do all that. After God or Jesus. Now remember, this is a letter that God told John right to the churches. So it's like any epistle that the others had written earlier on. Amen. The second thing you must mention of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. The Father gave Jesus this revelation. In other words, it's like God said, Jesus, reveal this part of your agenda to them. Are you with me? Reveal this part of your agenda. Now, when Jesus rose and went to heaven, Acts of Apostles, remember, the angel said to them, as you see him go, so shall he also do what? Return. But after that, they needed to fill a particular knowledge gap. And I guess that was why this book was written and sent to the churches. Amen. Am I communicating with us? Praise God. And so, when you look at it, see it as a letter that was written to you. And I want to believe that it's a book we can understand. Glory to God. Now, if you run to chapter 4, Revelation 4, after he had addressed the seven churches. Now, you can look at the address of the seven churches in different dimensions, and you will probably be right. People look at the prophetic agenda of the church, how the church will start at one point and how they are going to end. It's possible. You can also look at it from a perspective that within a church system, there are several kinds of people. Are you with me? You have people like the church of Ephesus. You have people like the church of Laodicea. You have all kinds of people. And you could have a church that is like one of those churches. Is that okay? Depends on how the Holy Spirit is going to guide you to speak. Amen. After that, the Bible said this in verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up, Peter. And I said, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. That means what he was going to show from chapter 4 was futuristic respect. Where did John get this? He got it on the island of Patmos, he told us. Praise God. So it was futuristic with respect to him. Glory to God. And what was he going to show him? And verse 2, he said this, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like what? A jasper and a sardine stone. Pastor Joshua told us, you know, Tuesday that even if we have never seen jasper or sardine before, once you enter that realm, they will communicate information to you supernaturally. You just know. Praise God. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now all these things, all these figurative expressions communicate certain truths. Because you must understand why it's there. The God does not decorate. It's not like, if I ask Brother Molulu, why did you put this thing here? He has no reason. And your spirit is just like that. None. Amen. Praise God. Will it be wrong? No. But if you enter the realm of the spirit and you see a pot there, it has a reason and a message. Are you with me? But I'm not entering those mysteries. Not today. And round about the throne were 24 elders seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they all had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 5. Hear what the angel said. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. This is not coming from he who sat. It is the throne that is responding. So you know that throne itself is a living entity. Everything in heaven that is of God, everything lives. They have their own kind of life. This throne lightnings in thunderings and voices. Praise God. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are what? The seven spirits of God. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I think those are the beasts in Ezekiel that we spoke about. That was what they said, the eyes covered them from top to bottom. If you see that one, will you not run? How many of you have watched Tom and Jerry? When Jerry is afraid, he will leave his skin. We jump out of the skin. Skin will stand like this. We just run. Then come back and pick his skin. That's the kind of fright you will have when you see this kind of beings. For they are not handsome. They are fearsome. Fearful things. You just see one fine angel stands up from the presence of God. You just faint. If you see this one, you jump out of your skin and run. Praise God. He described them. I'm not interested in their description. Just go to it. Oh, it. Okay, what is in it? 9. 10. 11. What did they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. That's a message on his own. Everything, including you, were all created for his pleasure. You don't owe yourself. No one owes himself or herself. Nobody has any right to say, this is my own. You don't have it. They gave it to you to use for a while. And that imposes upon you a responsibility of accountability. Now, whatever it is they gave you, we give account of it. Is that okay? Five. Let's leave this one. Then I saw in the right hand of him, he that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the outside, sealed with what? Seven seals. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Verse 3. Now, they say a strong angel. Is this an archangel or a seraphim? I will leave that to you to submit after service. Praise God. And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able. Please pay attention. Was able. Was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. It requires ability to take the scroll, break the seals, and open and read it. Glory to God. And that ability can only be acquired via a means. Now verse, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And verse 5 said, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, when he met John the Baptist, John the Beloved in chapter 1, how did he introduce himself? He says, I am the Alpha and what? The Omega. The beginning and the end. But when they introduced him here, they did not introduce him as the Alpha and Omega. Praise God. Now, you are not a Jew. I can see that. We are all Gentiles. We do not understand the meaning of names and the way God introduces himself. It's very important. When God appeared to Moses, what did he call himself? He said, I am. He said, your fathers did not know me by this name. What did he tell them? He said, I'm El Shaddai. That was the name by which he introduced himself to Abraham. And that revelation of that name was what made Abraham great. Praise God. The name that took Moses to the promised land was I Am. By that name, they conquered. Am I communicating to the church? When it came to Revelation, the names he began to reveal is more than what he revealed to the old Israel throughout the, how many years of revelation, of walking with him. So we know him as first and the last. He that opens that no man can shut, and shuts no man can open. He now came here. He says he's a Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. This is the Christ. Amen. What did they say he did? He had prevailed. So you cannot go up and take the scroll. You cannot break the seals. You cannot read the contents except you prevail. Glory to God. Verse 6. And I love this. My God, I don't have the time. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, what did he see? A lamb. What was introduced to him? A lion. All of you like lion. The lion and the lamb. You put the lamb last and bring the lion forth. You are humans, I understand. Amen. But what prevailed was not a lion. What prevailed was a lamp. The lion did not go to war. It was a lamb that warred. And you will see throughout the book of Revelation, the person who executed judgment was a lamb. The most dangerous animal in the settings of God is the lamb, not the lion. It is in this earth realm that the lion is strong. In that realm, the lamb is the most dangerous. That's why it says they slap you on your cheek, turn the left one. That's the nature of the lamb. But it looks sweet, but it's the most dangerous. Am I talking? But we like the lion. Roar! We show that, hey, this convention is going to be serious today, amen. Oh God, let's have mercy on us, amen. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. How did they slay him? They hung him on the tree. Amen. No, but if you want the passion of Christ, you will know what it was to look like. But that guy said that if he depicted what exactly happened that day, it will be worse than an oral thing. He had to scale it down. Go, go, go. Even with that scale down, the Jews is still 40. How can you show the world that we are this wicked? So you are more wicked than what I showed. There was no flesh on Jesus. They had torn all the flesh. He was bleeding from head to toe. And he was stripped naked. He was crucified naked. The thieves had little... They even gave the thieves some little honor. They had little pant on. He had nothing. Hallelujah. All the fine girls in Jerusalem saw him. There's nothing you will ever go through that Jesus didn't go through. I hope I'm not spoiling Jesus, you are spoiling like this. Praise God. And he had having 7 arms and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Remember, there are 7 stands. They call them 7 spirits of God. Then this one, the pastor now has those 7 spirits of God. That was Reverend will give them, and Father will come and do that one. Verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the hand of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 4 and 20 elders fell down. It was compulsory they must fall down. You don't understand. Just not that they have written a script. But when he takes it, you know, she understand. This is how we do it, eh? No. Something, you think they just what to do. Praise God. Before the lamp, having every one of them apps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. Now, I want to ask you, what kind of prayers are these? Because later on in the Revelation, they spoke about pouring the prayers like incense that they offered before God, which was the prayers of the saints. And I asked God, what kind of prayers will be offered before God? Is it this, let my enemy die prayer? Is that the kind of prayer that is going to go up as odors, sweet-smelling savour before God? No, it can't be. Then I think we need to begin to restructure the way we pray. Because it's very unlikely that those kind of prayers, because I don't know, this is my own small theory, that all the prayers in all the regions of the world will be mixed together and offered. We may not have prayer to contribute to that or something. I'm saying my own now. Verse 9. I did 1 more hour. And they sang the song, but that's not where my emphasis is. They sang the song of the Lamb. And they redeemed us with the blood. Praise God. And I remember I used this message, this particular place, to silence the arrogance of my Muslim friends. I had a Muslim roommate. I used to torment him. I was his tormentor in chief. One day I told him, I saw a Quran on my shelf. And I said, can I see the Quran? I picked the Quran. And he ran to me and took the Quran from my hands. I said, what's your problem? He said, you are not holy to handle the Quran. I said, sure. What must I do to be holy? He said, I must do the 5 washing and all that. I said, if that is what it will take me to hold the Quran, keep your Quran. Praise God. 2 days after, I hosted, my room was in Jaja Hall. And I was on top floor. And the way they did Jaja Hall, from top to floor were windows. So you can stay at my corner and be looking at what was going on downstairs. And Faculty of Science was at the back there. So around 6, he was breaking his fast. And all the students were coming from Faculty of Science. They come like locusts. And this particular group came, they were girls. And my friend was doing Ha-Kuba. I was looking at Ha-Kuba. I said, Aki, you will go to hellfire. You will land in hellfire. But that face God. So, my friend went looking for an affair that was harder than this. You know the Bible about you bringing somebody that has 7 more dangerous spirits than you. He went to bring that. There were 7 dangerous spirits. Now, my friend is a lawyer, but I made him look like an idiot. So he went to bring that. So I was walking towards the library one day, and I just asked him, brush it. And I turned around and I scanned the horizon, and I saw no brother that I know, save my friend, Akin, roommate, and a Alama Jama, which is Strawberry here. And the sun was blowing and crooked face, and me brother, okay. And they came and said, hey, you said Jesus is Son of God. We say it is a lie. And I just said, Holy Spirit, how do I answer? Left to me, I would have said, you are very, how can you tell Jesus is not Son of God? Then we remove shirt, we start fighting each other. Then there's a real crisis. I said, Holy Spirit, how do I answer? And the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this place. And I said, oh, God bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, full temper. I said, there was an incident, because they like prophets. Once you get a Muslim, speak to them from the prophets. I said there was a situation that happened in heaven. And the prophet said he saw a sea. That God was sent out an invitation that anybody that was worthy to come and collect the scroll in his hand. They actually have not read that part of the Bible. Praise God. And when they made the announcement, they said there was no man found worthy. And the prophet said he wept. He said because they did not see Abraham. Abraham didn't come out. Moses, these are the prophets he respects. But speak the ones he respect. Don't pick the one they will fight you over. Moses was not there. Moses was there, but he couldn't come out. Who are the other ones? David was there. I mentioned all the... Even Muhammad was there. For the sake of the argument. Muhammad didn't show face until Jesus came out and collected the scroll, and the whole heaven went down and worshipped him and called him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Say he's not there for Lord. From that day, they asked me no question. Praise God. These are enough, more than enough evidence to show that Jesus is the Christ. And he alone has the right to judge. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you this morning? I want to rush because my time is gone. Now, after Jesus opened the seals, he broke the seals. The Bible said there were seven seals. Praise God. Seven seals. At the seventh seal came forth what? Seven trumpets. The seventh seal unveiled seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet unveiled seven vials. Each of these things are escalation of the wrath of God. Now, if you go over the seals as they were broken, as he was breaking them, I beg your pardon, I want to ask, some of them has not happened. After looking at it, I realized that we are still in the period of the seals. We have not entered the trumpets. We have not entered the vials. If you look at what, can we just run through what those seals are and look at what those trumpets are and look at what the vials are, and then I will close my case. Praise God. Can you give me a little more time? God bless you. Amen. Some people are hungry, but God will help you today. Praise God. Are you still with me, church? Can we go to chapter 5, verses 1 to 3? Are you there? Okay. Okay. Is it 3, 1 to 3? Where did you say that there were this chapter 5? Revelation. Is this chapter 6? Okay, 6. Go to 6:1. And I saw when the lamp opened one of the seals. It was the first seal he opened. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, what did you see? A white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. I'm not going to interpret what this one is. Praise God. But the truth is that I don't even know what this is. They say it was the early church. That's why he wore white road. And he conquered and he conquered. I don't know. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4. And there went another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So when you see wars taking place, you are seeing the operation of spirits. It's Russia, Putin versus Ukraine. Eh? What is happening? Spirits are at war. Alright, the next verse. He opened the third seal, and I had the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. Continue. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou art not the oil and the wine. And when that speaks about economic crisis. And right now, I don't know whether we are there. Because what is happening in Ukraine may lead to an escalation to a full-scale world war. Because right now, Russia has won NATO. NATO is supplying arms to Ukraine. And he said, listen, bringing in weapons for Ukraine makes you a legitimate target for me to destroy. And once you start killing NATO troops, NATO will not send civilians to ferry ammunition to Ukraine. They will use their own men. If they start attacking them, it will be time for you and I to look for somewhere to go and hide. Am I communicating? And even Putin, Biden, the idiot, said it. That the way this is going, we may be entering Third World War. As if they are not the ones that don't cause it. Right now, they have cut off Russia from the economic environment. The economy is crumbling. But are they not aware that the whole of Europe depends upon Russia for oil? The whole of Europe depends on Russia and Ukraine for wheat. More than 60 or 70% of wheat that we eat in this world comes from that region. So it's going to block it. Bread that we are eating, for how much is bread now? They may say bread is now 10,000 per loaf. Yeah, okay. I'm coming home, oh my father. It's time to look up. It's time to go. He's going to stop giving them gas. Now that in winter, I'm going to call Shesson and tell him now, oh boy, when that happens, just buy ticket and come to Nigeria. We're working online. Praise God. They can. You know how cold it is. That place is cold. If you have ever been to Jos, you know how bad cold is. People have been prepared to die. You just enter a bedroom and pour water on your head, you will die there. That's how bad it's cold. That's how bad cold is. Have you ever heard of a cold or ice? Ice of about minus 20 degrees. If it touches your skin, it will burn your skin as if fire burnt it. So it's not only fire that God can use to fight. He can use ice to fight. I have experienced cold before. It's not pleasant. In Mubi, I left my... Who is falling down there under anointing? Praise God. And in the morning I came out. Mubi is usually very, very cold. Very cold. Because it's a plateau. And I put my hand inside the water to check. I was not fully awake. So I just came out to see whether water came during the night. To check whether there's water in the bucket. My hand went trick, but nobody begged me when my hand came out. The pain that shot into my head, but as soon as I put my hand inside fire, I carried the hand like this and I began to scream. Wally, 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 water, 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 boiling ring. The guy woke up too out of, what is that? Just put the water, put the boiling, as he put this on the boiling ring, I put my hand, follow boiling ring. Benny. Okay, it's not your fault. Praise God. These things are bad. Hallelujah. The world will suffer. And not only that, once that is already showing in the world market, there's a lot of disruption in oil and gas, something. Cost of, there's no way, there's nothing this government can do. We are in a mess. In fact, we have been, our own mess is worse than mess. It's mess. Because we can't buy petrol at 185. At 165. Petrol will come to us about 900 per liter. Unless I speak to you, they will topple this government. But there's nobody that will topple, there will be crisis. That the whole world will just enter. Before you just know it, a Bali will be for. It's going to be about to happen. It has not happened before, but it's going to happen. Because the world war will be triggered by an economic crisis. Am I communicating? So maybe that's where we are. And he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was called what? Death. And what followed him? Hell. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. There is no world war that has taken one fourth of the whole earth. One fourth is 25%. The present population of the earth is about 7 billion. For the sake of calculation, I think, can we make it 8 billion? So what is 1 over 4 of 8 billion? 2 billion people will die. No world war has killed people up to 2 billion before. This is describing to us the third world war. And to kill with the sword and with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony with the held. This is different to you. See some people that we still see later on. They call that they were beheaded because of the they came through tribulation. How long, O God, will you judge and avenge our blood that dwell on the earth? Verse 11. And the white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should do what? They should cool temper. They should rest. This is where fear caught me. Until your fellow servants also. Hello? Is God not a God of love? This is him talking here. Until your fellow servants also and their brethren. Because you can say it's only us pastors. But we are brethren. Praise God. That they should be what? Killed. As they were and should be fulfilled. Is it looking interesting? No. Can we avert it? No. Can we pray against it? No. How do we do it? We embrace it. Praise God. Then, my dad was dying. I told my wife, hey, I'm sorry for your generation. Said, we are going. Praise God. It's looking like me, I will not see this thing. I'm sorry for the rest of you. I will grow up and just leave the answer and leave the rest of you. Amen. Verse 12. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became dark. Is there any time in history that the sun became dark as sackcloth of air and the moon became as blood? That they happened simultaneously. That means we have not reached hell. The earth has not reached there. We are still within the seals. They have not gotten there. Of course, there have been testimony of the moon turning red. We've heard about the eclipse of the sun. But that the two will occur at the same time, that's not, but let us check. Is that okay? And 13 said this, and the stars of the heavens fell to the earth. Has that happened yet? Even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now you can look at this from two perspectives. It could be the literal stars. That means a lot of comets. All these stars will start falling, meteors, all those things will start raining on the earth. It's very likely that may happen. But also know that the word stars is also used for angels. What do you think they are telling us when they say there's going to be coming UFOs? You are going to likely see a lot of See, when they said Dinah fell from heaven, what do you think fell from heaven? It was a star. Abi? They said there was a stone in Ephesus. A star fell. Who knows whether it's going to be literal UFOs and they're going to start seeing them walking around and we'll be running and dodging and all that. I don't know anything about that, alright? I'm only saying maybe that's what's going to happen. But that's not started happening. So we are not yet here. We've not gotten here yet. Praise God. But I can say this just like an addition to what is I'm adding to this. Praise God. A young chap, I listened to it, is a testimony on YouTube. The mom shared the testimony of this young boy who at the age of 10 drowned. The boy drowned and they picked his corpse and took it to the hospital and tried to revive him. And after an hour or thereabout, they revived him. But they said shortly after the boy recovered, but the boy recovered and there was no indication that he had been dead for an hour. He was literally pronounced dead on arrival. But science has gotten so far now that there's a way they can revive you even if you are dead. But I don't know whether it was for everybody that is dead. Otherwise, nobody would have died again. Do you understand? I mean, I've come across documented who froze in the ice. They literally froze. They fell into a lake and they were frozen. And they picked their body, took them to the hospital, drained their blood, and passed their blood through a eating material, and they came back to life. And they lived. And how did they explain it? They said they said that there is a mechanism in our bodies that when that guy entered that cold water, that mechanism shut down all the vital organs, shut everything down. So it will appear as if he was dead. So it was Nigeria. The guy was not dead. After they heated his blood and passed it back, the guy lived. I thought that was one testimony, and I later read about another testimony of a person who entered the plane. You know, he wanted to run away from his country, so he sneaked into the through the wheels, you know, the wheels of the aircraft. He entered that bay, so when the thing retracted back, he sat down there. Unfortunately, that place is not protected. At the height of about 30,000 feet above the earth, it is freezing cold. So the guy died, was frozen. They now found his body when they landed. When they landed, the body fell on the ground. But they revived him. So they've gotten that far. But here, we are looking at something that is not easy. So this boy was revived. And the boy, immediately after that, began to walk in extraordinary level of love. Everybody, their neighbors, the school said the boy was changed after that event. But unfortunately, the boy died 3 years after. At the age of 13, the boy passed away. So his mom came and said this was actually what this young boy told. He said she did not know how to say it. Because it had been, are you crazy? Said that the boy told that when he fell into the river, he went down, down, down. And when he got to the bottom of the right, was walking towards him on the floor of the river. Was walking towards him. Said that his golden stash, and it was the small boy. He didn't know, just said that. And out of his right or so, he said a portal opened, and a dark object came out to pull him in. And the man who was walking towards him told him, kick him. So he turned around and kicked the thing. And the thing cried and went back. And the man in white picked him up and took him, and he left the water, they left the solar, they left the sky, went through the space, he saw the stars, he was seeing all those stars, he was seeing all of them, he just carried him and entered the celestial city. So there he saw heaven. And the man talked to him a lot. He said a lot of things. So one thing he said, that at least I'm a reference of this, he said the Third World War will take place. It's going to happen. He said his junior brother was going to join the military. After that, he's going to find him. He's going to come back. And told him a lot of things. But he said this. He said, the problem is not those who die after the Third World War or who died during the Third World War. He said the problem is after the Third World War, he says, beings will land on this earth. He said that is when trouble will begin. Those UFOs that they've been seeing in Nollywood, they'll come to the earth. Because the portals will open. And those fallen angels will land. Who knows that's what he was saying here, that those stars came. I don't know. Am I making sense to us? But no, all those things are all interwoven. They are not abstract. They are realities that will hit the earth. Because as we move towards the end, we are going to start seeing a lot of crazy things happen. Do you know that when Jesus Christ died, a lot of crazy things happened in Jerusalem? You don't know. There were earthquakes. There were darkness. There were all kinds of things. Then the Bible says that those who died came up and began to walk on the surface of the land. And there were people, you don't know how people knew, you must be David. You must be Elijah. You must be, I don't know how they know, but they know. And I guess they went to visit their relatives. All of them went to visit their relatives before they ascended. Now, they did not ascend until Jesus had finished his work on the third day. When that something broke open and he descended, he released those people. But he needed to feed. By the time he was now coming back, remember he told Mary, "So don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended." In his ascension, the Bible says he took captivity captives. Who were the captivity? They were the people that were bound in that dungeon that we found, they called Abraham's bosom. He took them, they were the captives, he took captivity, and he led them into heaven. Praise God. Becoming the witnesses. That's why we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So in the present day that we live in, Abraham's bosom is empty. You won't find anybody there. Praise God. That rich man is still where he is today. Suffering. Pleading to God for mercy. And he won't get it. Not because God is a bad God, but God has... See, once you cross this into eternity, your eternity is sealed. There's no sorry again. No sorry. You can bet in eternity God will not move. That is why God is the most terrible being to offend. It's terrible to offend him. He will forgive you, but the day he says enough is enough, nobody can intercede for your case. I've said my own. Praise God. Where are we? Otire, you didn't give me water. Yeah. Okay. The Lord will forgive you. Where are we now? And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and the island were moved out of their places. 15. And the kings of the earth, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And what did they say in verse 15? They said this to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from what? The face of him that seated on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb." Have we gotten here yet? Have the kings of the earth ran to mountains and asked them to follow? We have not reached there. Praise God. I think I will leave you. Go and read the rest. Go and read the rest. Just go and read the rest. There are seven trumpets. The seven, see, every time God was escalating the judgments. And that's the way God behaves. Remember the story in Egypt. What did you start with? What did God start with? So Moses go and meet them. And they say, "Who is the God?" He said, "Throw your rod." Amen. And he threw his rod and swallowed up the rods of the magicians. Did the brother Pharaoh repent? He didn't repent. And God escalated it. And he escalated it. And he escalated it. And he escalated it. But the final escalation, he wiped out the firstborn. Am I communicating, church? All the judgments of God are all escalations. Now, you will now ask, listen to me as I bring this to a close. The wrath of God is not for the children of God. It is different from the Antichrist in 24 that is going to precipitate a tribulation upon the earth. And that tribulation is not upon the children of disobedience. It's going to be an attack on the children of obedience. Are you with me? It is satanic wrath. And you can see the template being played out before us. In Canada, they were arresting pastors. They were closing down churches. They were arresting people because you have refused to use other. Are you with me? So if you don't conform, you'll be dealt with. And you find that even Christians will tell you, I don't want to die. I told the professor, I said, Prof, you're a Christian. If you die of COVID, you will go to heaven. He said, I don't want to die now. I said, none of it. Praise God. But if any of you did microbiology, you know that this thing cannot stop virus. Then why were they giving us false hopes? It was control. And that's where Lucifer is going. He will command you. Do you know what he has been doing this since now? When Nebuchadnezzar, you remember brother Nebuchadnezzar, you remember him? When he got everybody together, said, when you hear this music, I want everybody to bow and worship that image of me. Praise God. You see that in Revelation 2. The issue of image came up. That spirit said they must worship an image. And whoever did not worship that image, he will be put to death. And believers will say, you will feel cool. You will sit there. Because from what I can see in that this COVID, there's no for many people in the church. Those of you that were tying nappy, you are easily gullible and manipulated. That was the reason we did not close church, because I didn't want to fall into that trap. If this test run, you can't pass. You can't pass the main exam. Praise God. Now the present church said we will not see it. I pray we don't see it. Hallelujah. But supposing we now see it, what will you do? Am I communicating? Supposing we see it. Supposing we are alive to see the Antichrist. What are we going to do? Remember the sign he gave. He didn't tell the unbelievers. He told the church. He told the disciples. This is the sign you will know. This is the Antichrist. So the church will be there to see him. Because we also saw in 2 Thessalonians that day. And I've been gathered together. Will not happen until that. There's a falling away, and that's we are going to be around. The church as a church will be around. But it is that wrath of God is not coming. Remember one thing also as I close. This is the second time I'm closing. Praise God. Remember that when the wrath was poured out on Egypt, they did land in Goshen. He didn't touch them in Goshen. He didn't touch them in Goshen. But Peter said, God knows how to keep those that are his. Keep them from wrath. Keep them from all these judgments. How he will do it, I have no clue. Did COVID come to Akure? They said he came. But did God not keep us? He kept us. You think some of us didn't have COVID? If possible, all of us had COVID. Amen. But Psalm 91, what did he tell us? Hallelujah. If you can't trust God now, when do you want to start trusting him? Ordinary COVID, you are afraid. If footmen weary you, when those guys mount horses, how will you survive? They are coming there. The wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven. Upon every act of disobedience and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unbelief, and they hold it in unrighteousness, upon them it is going to come. And if you read it, the trumpets, the vows, it was escalating it. There is a particular part of it that I don't enjoy. They said there are some scorpions or so that will bite men and torment them for 6 months. And men will be looking for death. And death will run. Have you seen? You took yourself and you die. And death says, God will punish you. I will not kill you. And death will go away. Kill me. He said, I will kill you. For those 6 months, nobody will die on earth. And the person, and yet they did not repent. You know how they came there? So God said they gave them up to reprobate minds. They can't change again. All those things, are done so that God can be justified the day he begins to judge them. That one is just a judgment. The main one, go, when they stand and they are reading their name, and they are, hellfire, the Bible said they will cast hellfire itself, they will cast it into the lake of fire. It's actually hell. They will carry hell and throw it to fire. That rich man is still being tormented. That fire is worse than what he's going to face. And it's going to be like that for eternity. The Bible says the righteous will go and look at them and say, Pele. And go back. Can you imagine that kind of pain? You see your friend come to say Pele every day. You see a bunny. You say, are they helping me? You're broken here. Yeah, and he can't help you. Listen to me. This is my final close. I will do whatever it will take. That song you taught us that whatever it will take, I will seek your glory, Abby. It's not a song, it's a reality. Whatever it will take, I will prepare that glory that I'm going to find out whether it is true or false. I say, Pastor, you made us afraid today. Yes, that's the purpose. God said in Jeremiah chapter 5, is it verse 2 or 12, say, will you not fear me? You should fear him. No, we need to fear God. Don't play with him. The blessings of glory and all that is sweet. But understand the other one is also bad. This one is sweet. This one is so bitter. If there's anything more bitter than bitter, that is what that one is. Again, it is a choice of life or death. God says, choose life. Can we pray? Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. Can you commit yourself? Can you pray and ask God? Have mercy. That is why he's our great high priest. He's work is to deliver us from the wrath to come. Is to keep us from facing that wrath. And the only way you can face it, or you not face it, is for the high priest to purge you from every uncleanness. That you will not play with sin, you will not walk in disobedience. Father, I thank you. Father, we give you glory. I ask for mercy, Lord. I ask for mercy. Father, I come on the platform of mercy. Have mercy on us. Lord, cleanse us. Cleanse us. From every unrighteousness, every act and disposition to wickedness, touch our hearts, forge our consciences, that we may live in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Lord Jesus, rescue us. Turn our hearts. Dedicate yourself. Make a fresh commitment to God. There's a place for you to make a commitment. There's a place for you to repent of your duplicity, of your unseriousness, of your lack of commitment. This is an opportunity. Yes. You may be weak in an area. Just bring the matter before God and say, this aspect of my life, Lord, help me. Deliver me. Heal me. Strengthen me. You cannot live a life of disobedience and expect to escape the wrath to come. That was what John the Baptist told these Pharisees. You brood of vipers. who has warned you to run from the wrath to come. A wrath is coming. It is coming. It is as sure as tomorrow, the sun will dawn tomorrow. It is going to come. Nothing can stop it from coming. So who has warned you to run? Who has warned you to escape? Who warned you? I am warning you. Lord, let this not be our portion. Lord, by your mercy, keep us. Establish our feet on the rock to stay. Strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our faith. Help us to keep our focus on you. And as many as will come and be part of this church, we pray and ask that you will save them. And they will become part of that company that will stand and they will worship the Lamb in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.